Yeah, it's good. All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. I got Dead Penetration here, and we got articles to talk about, so let's go ahead and get this shit started right. First off, we've got an article here. Well, let's start from the very beginning, because this article, well, it has a lot of other things that need to come before it, and, let's see if I can actually get through to all this. Because I do, man. There we go. Alright. Alright, so let's start with the very beginning. Alright, so we have a widowed mom finding love with a Romanian TikTok stripper on 90 Day Fiancé. Okay. Widowed mother, 31, whose husband died of stage 4 cancer after a desperate 8-month battle to get a diagnosis, reveals that she has found love again with a Romanian stripper as their unique romance is captured on 90 Day Fiancé.
As one does.
A 31-year-old widow whose husband died of stage 4 cancer has finally found happiness once again in the arms of a 26-year-old Romanian stripper who she met online. Mother of two, Amanda Wilhelms, tragic story and her quest to find love again is featured in the season 6 debut of that television show. The season premiere chronicles her courtship with the 26-year-old Rosven Siokoi, who identifies as a model, singer, personal trainer, and entertainer. The story arc traces her journey from devastated widow following the sudden loss of her husband to a rare aggressive form of cancer in March 2022, to a hopeful would-be newlywed on the eve of meeting her online beau in real life. So, he's super sweet. He's just one of those people that'll do anything for somebody that he loves. Amanda, native of Louisiana, gushed of Rosvan, who lives in Bucharest. He makes me laugh all the time, she added. I'm sure he does. As for their meet-cute, the pair virtually connected after Amanda's friend was competing with a mystery man in a live-stream challenge and beating him at every go-round. Amanda couldn't help but notice how the guy who lost was being so silly. She found his shenanigans charming enough to send him a rose, which cost less than a dollar, through TikTok. It wasn't long before Rosvan replied, thanking her for the digital gift. The sweet exchange set in motion an increasingly intense, albeit totally online, back and forth. I told Rosvan really early on that I was a widow, and he truly has been someone I can lean on, and he's talked to me through some of my worst days, she said of the emotionally supportive rapport the pair has developed. On the show, as she's gearing up to fly to Bucharest, she says their relationship has been going on for 4 months. In that short time, however, they've already encountered some rough patches, breaking up a few times. At one point, Amanda tried to end things after catching him during live stream asking a woman to shower with her clothes on without her bra. And yet she continued, each time we only end up getting back together. She later confesses to her sister that she expects Rosvan to propose amidst meeting face-to-face for the first time in Bucharest before a return to the States. In turn, she called the notion crazy and voiced concern that her sister's judgment was still clouded by grief. For her part, Amanda did admit to feeling some guilt being with him so soon after losing her husband in March of 2022. She'd initially connected with a TikToker some 4 months after Jason's death. Prior to his passing, Jason went to the doctor complaining of lung problems according to Amanda, but nothing showed up on subsequent tests. It took 8 months before he finally got a diagnosis of stage 4 terminal ampullary cancer. Doctor gave him a best case scenario of 3 months to live. Amanda, fighting back tears, said that Jason passed away in the hospital 10 days. And she shares Alina and Jason with her late husband. When Jason was sick, he told me he wanted me to find love again and move on, Amanda emphasized. He was like, it's not fair for you to live your life alone. Taylor Swift fans slam Elon Musk, comparing her to Napoleon Dynamite.
Is he wrong? She likes toys.
Taylor Swift fans have been furious after Elon Musk mocked the songstress's looks, comparing her to movie character Napoleon Dynamite in drag, and yet another bizarre social media rant. In the since-deleted post, the Twitter CEO 51 shared a snap of the Bad Blood songstress 33 next to actor John Heder in the 2004 comedy with his ginger perm and thick glasses. I am a Taylor Swift fan, of course, but how do we know for sure they're different people? Alongside the photos, it read, "When you realize Taylor Swift is actually Napoleon Dynamite and drag."
That's
furious fans rushed to slam the businessman with one writing. He should look at himself in the mirror or worry about that.
People don't know what a joke is
anymore. Wallace Second said he is so bitter that she doesn't acknowledge him. Another echoed the statement, writing, "He needs her attention so bad." Someone else asked, "What did Taylor Swift do to deserve this from Elon Musk?" A fifth quipped, "Can he just leave this earth?" And a sixth said, "He's gone too far. I'm tired of Elon." When a seventh posted, "He needs to leave her alone," with a sixth adding, "We don't care about this man." Another commented, "The Swifties, Taylor Swift fans, about to get him real good." The cult comedy followed a story of Napoleon. We know that.
When he starts letting people vacation on the moon, they'll change their tune.
Yeah.
I wanna go. Oh no, he was a dick.
This man, Scottish lottery winner, his name is Colin Weir, a former cameraman married to a nurse. He bought a 55% share in Glasgow's Partick Thistle Football Club before he died of sepsis at age 72 in 2019. He blew through $50 million before his death. I mean, I don't blame the guy if you've got nothing but money. And
yeah, it's your money.
Yep. He spent $131,000 a week after winning a record-breaking $257.6 million in 2011. He also plunked down big bucks for a vintage Bentley Arnage, a Jaguar F-Pace SUV, and a Mercedes-Benz E-Class estate. Jesus. Along with $6 million home, he reportedly spent millions more to renovate. Weir also snapped up three prize racing thoroughbreds, including an Irish mare named If You Say Run. But the lottery curse reared its head in 2018 when he divorced his wife, Chris, after nearly four decades of marriage, and she took much of his fortune, according to The Independent. All told, Weir ended up spending an average of $131,900 a week on luxury items and investments before suffering from the kidney failure that led to his death. At the same time he won the lottery, he was the second biggest Euro Millions winner ever. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is tracking lower than the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I know, I heard it was doing terrible.
No!
Well, they get the woke people trying to push an agenda that was never there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we've got another article here. Let me mute that. Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards' daughter, Sammy Sheen, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, gets ready for sex worker job and shock TikTok as she reveals plans to get a boob job and marks 1 year anniversary of her OnlyFans. Sammy Sheen, the daughter of Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards, shared a TikTok getting ready for a sex worker job on Thursday. Sheen's daughter spoke about a big reveal after fans had been asking her to share topless photos and celebrated the 1 year anniversary of her OnlyFans account. The model, who turned 19 in March, told fans, "I know you're probably thinking, how the hell are you a sex worker if you keep your breasts censored? But trust me, I have my ways. I still show pretty much everything." She also shared her plans to undergo breast implant surgery and mark the 1 year anniversary of her OnlyFans account. She said, "I just want to wait until the girls are done, so I'm finally confident with everything I'm showing." Going into further personal detail, the star said, "I'm starting a laser hair removal soon that's going to be a huge game changer. I just can't stand shaving my whole entire body every time I need to work. It's so annoying. I just get all pretty and then see what happens before adding that video content is her least favorite to make because she's so awkward." The shock comments come after the young star joined OnlyFans last year. Sammy has been posting on the content subscription service since last year. She made headlines for posting images alongside her Bond girl mom Denise, who posed for Playboy almost 20 years ago. Sammy previously faced opposition from her actor dad, Charlie Sheen, who wasn't happy with her decision to join OnlyFans, and she recently revealed that he hasn't been won over.
I still got that Playboy.
The teenager told TMZ, "My mom has been incredibly supportive from the jump. I'm grateful to have her in my corner, but my dad hasn't seen the light yet." but Denise has been far more supportive of her daughter's OnlyFans endeavors. Well, of course.
He knows what he used to do to women that did that sort of thing.
Denise, who was married to Charlie from 2002 to 2006, jumped on social media to defend her daughter's decision and said lots of negative comments on my social this past week. I have to say, I wish I had the confidence my 18-year-old daughter has. And I also can't be judgmental of her choices. I did wild things in Playboy. Quite frankly, her father shouldn't be either. In regards to the backlash, the actress added, I'm in awe of her ability to shut out the noise because it can destroy you. I recently learned about OnlyFans in the last few months. The judgment because women and men of the adult film industry are on there. I imagine they're on Instagram and Twitter as well. She then questioned if there was a difference posting a picture of ourselves in a bikini on Instagram. We've all done it. Because you get paid on OnlyFans, I'm pretty sure Instagram and Twitter and Facebook do quite well off of all of us. Denise later added, perhaps I should open my own account. Of course she'd say that. Denise ended up joining OnlyFans just days after her daughter started her own account.
She better do some raunchy shit. She's got to keep up with her age.
Meanwhile, Sammy has been in Hawaii all week. She posted a slew of snaps chronicling her getaway to paradise in Honolulu. Whether she was splashing around the ocean blue or striking a pose by the sunset in an out-bearing outfit, Sammy looked like she was having the time of her life. My second home at this point, she captioned the snaps. The post began with a video of Sammy diving into the tranquil waters before emerging to slick the water out of her face. In one picture, Sammy wore a cheeky thong bikini bottom as she explored the rocky terrain with her tattooed back on display. She also shared a snap of herself soaking in the tub beside a candlelight. In a stunning shot, Sammy posed on the beach at sunset in a white tube top and flowing tiered skirt. She also appeared to take a snap at magic hour as she posed in the sunlight with her blonde hair cascading atop her gray sweatshirt and one golden shot. There was also plenty of adventuring to be had. She enjoyed zip lining, a bike ride around the beach, and a close encounter with a tortoise. Woman complains that the only masculine men she can find are conservative.
No shit. There's a reason behind that.
Yep. She goes viral. It's a liberal. She's a liberal TikToker. And she's complaining that the only masculine and chivalrous men she can find are conservative.
Well, that's like saying, what are all the things that breathe fire? Dragons. What the fuck?
Posted this week, the clip comes from TikTok user Miss Petch, a Los Angeles-based singleton who regularly posts about her hapless dating life. A self-professed liberal, her posts often prove polarizing and regularly show a pinning for progressive men. For progressive men. Her most recent exploit, posted to 35,200 followers this past Thursday, was a little different, but did serve as a slight deviation from the rest of her online au revoir. Whatever the fuck that word is. O-E-U-V-R-E. In the video, she questioned why she cannot find a left-leaning man who's willing to play the more traditional masculine role in the relationship, something which has triggered a huge response in the comments. As a liberal woman, it is really hard to find a man who's willing to play the more traditional masculine role in the relationship in today's day and age who is not a conservative. Water is wet!
Yeah.
The TikToker explains of what she perceives to be the optimal man. Obviously, as a liberal woman, she continues touting her left-leaning status a second time. I do want to be respected for my independence, and I do want to have my own autonomy in the relationship and not be conformed to the traditional female homemaker childbearing role.
Well,
but she wants the man to be the traditional role, and it doesn't work that way, lady.
The arrangement. You put out, and you pop out some kids. Keep civilization thriving.
I mean, my God, what kind of mental gymnastics are you trying to do over here?
Well.
She then adds, in what she labeled one of her saddest realizations, and most of the men that I dated who do have that more natural provider masculinity about them are normally conservative. Well, duh. The content creates...
It is a fairy tale. Like trying to find a sane woman that's a liberal. They don't exist.
The content creator goes on to attribute certain characteristics to what she views as a perfect man, pondering how to parlay it with the aforementioned political prerequisite while not forfeiting, as she put it, morals and values. A man who wants to pay on the first date, who wants to open your door, who has that want and desire to take care of you and to provide.
Who wants to give and not get?
Yeah! She then specifies for a second time...
Like a shitty deal to me.
...who is not a conservative. Okay, so, gentlemen, listen to this. She wants a man who pays on the first date, who wants to open the door for her, and who has that want and desire to take care of her and provide, but she doesn't want to be a woman. You don't want to be a traditional woman, but you want a traditional man?
Yeah.
What kind of bullshit is this?
She wants her cake and eat it, too.
You can't.
No, you can't, because nobody... A conservative man ain't gonna put up with that shit.
Hell no!
Wondering... We're gentlemen, but we ain't fucking bitches. You can get you a liberal man if you want one of those.
Wondering why she cannot find a more masculine traditional man without compromising, she continues to complain about her unsuccessful dating life. As she spoke, text appeared at the top of the video asking followers if she's asking too much with her requests. While she expressed a desire to be equal with a prospective partner who provides for her. Still provides for her. She'll find some simp. Am I asking too much here?
You're trying to find a kid with Downs that's got an IQ of 168. It's not there.
That's just a little bit more higher than mine. The cry on read, to somewhat be equal, yet have a man provide and take care at 160, if
and
you guys are curious.
Downs, that's what
I know, is. But I'm saying
well, there
that,
you go.
Yeah, I'm
if
saying...
If you had Downs, that wouldn't be the case, sir.
I know that, but I'm saying that you said 168, mine's 160.
That's why it's not called the ups, it's the downs.
The ups. I have the ups! I have up syndrome.
And then someone said, oh, let's go play some ball. Not that kind of ups. It's a different kind.
Right. Yeah. And take care of me.
Then I got Daryl.
To some extent. After complaining caption aired... Let me get this right. Another complaining caption aired a critique of some of the lackluster liberal men she has been presumably running into. All these men out here wanting to spit the bill. Split the bill.
They'll all spit on the bill. You know, you gotta get it wet before you shove it up your ass.
On the first date, what? She goes on to lament again about how her search for a strong-willed leftist man has so far come up short before asking if she is being unreasonable. I don't really know what to do because I don't want to compromise my morals and values just to find a man. Am I asking to have my cake and eat it too?
And you know what the funniest thing is? They made
those
men.
She's self-aware!
Because those men were followers. They weren't their own people when it comes to liberalism. They are doing that because the woman was like, stop being so masculine. That you're such a pig. All this. Well, they're just following the role that you trained them into. But, no excuse for acting like a bitch if you're a dude.
The clip then cuts out, but has since been viewed more than 250,000 times. Commenters were somewhat divided in the content creator's assessment, with many calling the woman out for what they claim to be a double standard. Duh!
Now, I will pay on a date, but I don't... You know, when that's what she starts off with, is they have to pay. That means she's not as concerned about finding anything out about you as she is getting a free meal.
Yep. Some, however, stood in solidarity with the TikToker's analysis, and many pointing out that being a conservative does not make them a bad partner. If he's working, paying the bills, bring home the food, then I'll clean the home, cook the doot, etc.
Maybe?
Cook the doot, etc., someone wrote. I look at it like it's a balance. Another user asserted, his morals and values are his. They don't have to be the same. Being conservative doesn't mean he's a bad person. To that, Miss Etch replied in a comment, I don't think conservatives are bad people at all. I just don't agree with their values. I think it'd be very challenging to marry somebody who has.
Like keeping babies alive?
Somebody else chimed in, the beauty about conservatives is you don't have to compromise their morals. He advised, you never know if you've found love if you don't take the chance. And subsequent videos posted in response to the backlash she's now facing, the TikToker took the time to address her critics. In one, she doubled down on her stance that she merely wants a man who has some traditional values while also being very progressive in social issues, while in another, she cited how she recently gone on a date with someone sporting characteristics from both political ideologies.
They don't exist.
She said she's so much more to offer aside from being confined to the home as a traditional wife, but still expressed desire for a traditional man. A commenter remarked, no, she can't have her cake and eat it too. Masculine men want feminine women. Her views don't align. She's an idiot.
I mean, even if she were to find this man, they wouldn't be liberal, one. And two, they wouldn't want what she has to offer if she's doing the role of a true liberal woman. Because they look like dykes. No offense to dykes out there.
Isabel fell for a charismatic Texan and married him in a fairy tale $50,000 wedding paid for by her parents, only for him to ghost her just one day after his Australian spouse visa was granted. A distraught wife who came home to empty house and maxed out credit cards realized her American husband left her one day after his Australian partner visa was approved. Isabel Glastonbury, now 31, met Michael in Dallas in 2015 and quickly fell head over heels in love with a charismatic and charming Texan. After a whirlwind engagement one year later, the pair relocated from the U.S. to Australia together in 2018. The couple married in a fairytale wedding at the Boathouse in Palm Beach to a bill of more than $50,000 generously paid by her parents. But her newlywed happiness turned to heartbreak following an evening of dinner and drinks to celebrate Michael's visa approval in January of 2021, 2 years and 4 months after applying, the fee also funded by her mom and dad. I got home and literally 90% of his stuff had disappeared, she told Daily Mail Australia. I had this sinking feeling, she recalled. I tried logging into our immigration accounts. I had been locked out of everything. My credit cards were maxed out, and I was blocked on his phone. None of my calls or messages going through. For over a month, Isabel was in the dark as to why Michael, now 29, had suddenly disappeared without any explanation. He ghosted everyone, all of our mutual friends, the best man from our wedding, and his own family, but no one knew where he was. But in hindsight, the months leading up to discovering her husband had disappeared were concerning, she said. He had become distant and started disappearing at night. I felt like I was married to a complete stranger. Isabel claimed that in the days prior to ghosting her, Michael said he wanted them to relocate to Queensland, buy a home, and start a family. I don't know what his plan was. None of it made sense, she says. I think we got married, he got over it, and was too chicken shit to say anything to my face, but just wanted to stay in Australia. According to Isabel, the Department of Immigration and Border Protection did little to reject Michael's visa after he vanished, a $10,000 expense that her parents covered when the couple first moved to Sydney. So many people reported him to immigration and nothing happened, she said. I have such a problem with the visa situation. Literally, people can leave and have no repercussions or be forced to have any accountability. It's been over a year since the former couple officially divorced, and Isabel hasn't seen or spoken to Michael since the brief meetup in February of 2021, where he gave her the vague explanation that he had to be single. Just the other day, my friend told me Michael got married again, almost a year to the day we officially divorced. He was my friend. He's my best friend, my ride or die. He fooled everyone, including me. Isabel has also moved on, rekindling a relationship with her high school sweetheart and best friend Max with a couple welcoming baby Mason 3 months ago. I'm in a good place. I've wanted to share my story for a while now because you never think it'll happen to you until it does, she says. And her advice for others? Don't be blind, because I'm sure I could have seen the signs before this happened and I just ignored it. You never really know who you're sleeping next to. Okay, now there was this thing that Britney Spears' family say they fear she's on meth, but she's come out recently to say that she's not, so I don't know who's right and who's wrong on this situation, but I'm not going to go into that. Okay, now.
Just because she sounds like she could be on meth doesn't mean she's on meth. She's just from Louisiana.
I didn't know that.
Yep, she is.
Okay, two Russian women rape a 19-year-old. This is old. This happened in 2019. Some people post like super old articles.
Yeah.
But basically, in 2019, these two Russian women raped a 19-year-old man over a cracked iPhone screen.
It depends on what kind of raping they did and what they look like.
Okay, so Chris Pratt coming back into news with some article, with some advice here, rather. Of course, there's articles, but... Every day you wait is a day they don't get to have you in their life. Chris Pratt encourages people to rush to have children to get more time together. Chris Pratt has advised people to rush into having children to give you more time together. The actor, 43, has three kids. Son Jack, 10, with his ex-wife Anna Faris, and daughters Lila Maria, 2, and Eloise Christina, one with current wife Katherine Schwarzenegger. In a new interview, he recommended that people don't wait to have children and that having them was incredible. Speaking to Men's Journal, he said, "People say all the time, don't rush to have kids. I personally disagree. Rush. Have them. Of course, make sure you find a great partner, but don't wait." He explained, "I was talking to Adam Sandler a while back, and he said, every day you wait is a day that you don't that they don't get to have you in their life. The younger you have kids, the more they get to have time with you. The younger you have kids, the more time they get to have with you." Yeah. "It's wild. Having kids is incredible. The things you normally take for granted in life are new. As they grow up, it becomes more about connecting with them as individuals and what makes them unique. The softness of their hearts, how their minds work, how they're the same as you, how they're different." Chris added that becoming a father had affected his career as it impacted choosing what roles he goes for. He said, "In the same way that being a father changes the kind of actor you are, it can definitely change the kinds of roles you want to be involved in. I found myself wanting to do more PG movies. I see a lot because my kids want to watch them, and to be honest, some of them are bad. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is terrible. So at the same time as wanting to make movies that would entertain my kids, I'm also thinking about creating movies that are merciful on the parents." Chris's comments come after he celebrated his fourth wedding anniversary with Katherine last week. Good for him.
He took like it wasn't that long ago.
He took to his Instagram on Thursday to mark the occasion, sharing a snap of the loved-up couple enjoying some time alone together at San Ysidro Ranch in Montecito, California, where they got married. The Marvel star wrote, "Happy anniversary, former Marvel star. Mom and Dad's first night away in 3 years, back to the spot where we said I do. I love you, honey." And they do look like a great couple together.
Yeah.
Chris looked dapper in a suit coat over a white button-up shirt, donned a well-groomed beard, and styled his short hair spiked and messy. The eldest daughter of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver styled her brunette tresses straight with large curls at the ends and opted for light makeup with a touch of blush and matte pink lips. I don't really care about what they were wearing, but that's just
proof that when people have the same values, mm-hmm. It works better. You know, he was, before that, he was married to Anna Faris, and that she's more of a liberal than, and of course he's probably more conservative, but of course that didn't last, and she's kind of an atheist.
Yeah, she is, but let's see, man, I don't know. It said basically the author, who has written 3 self-help books on subjects like finding direction after college, forgiveness, and dog adoption for kids, the former governor of California has become very close with his beloved daughter's A-list husband since their romance began in 18. "I get along with him really well." I get along with him really well. Arnold told Jimmy Kimmel in 29. No, that was Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
In addition,
he's kind of an atheist. He doesn't believe.
He's not kind of.
Well, yeah.
In addition to both being action stars.
I wonder how she became so devout when, you know.
Yeah.
Usually you kind of, it's kind of almost handed down from family to family. That's kind of, you know, a dream of parents that are Christian is that their kids fight.
In addition to being action stars, the Hollywood heavyweights immediately connected over their shared love of fitness and spent time together in the gym. Terminator icon went on to say, "Man, he's got arms as small as me now." Huh. Arnold.
Yeah, he's falling apart.
Oh my God.
He is not doing great. They say he's barely able to really get around the whole bunch.
Yeah. The Terminator icon went on to say that he was blown away when his daughter told him he was dating the Jurassic World hero. In a touching moment, Arnold spoke to Kimmel about how grateful he was that Chris was such a kind and loving partner to his daughter. "I'm really happy that he is such a great guy," said the superstar. "Not only a very talented guy, a great actor, a great star and all this stuff, but a really kind man and kind to my daughter, which is most important thing for me." The 75-year-old...
And then someone says, I need to go to the bathroom. Screw your rights!
You're not going to bathroom!
No, you will wear the mask and like it.
The 75-year-old action star praises his son-in-law, Chris, after seeing his new film, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. "It was a good movie!
I like the aliens!"
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay.
What are you doing? Get to the chopper!
And more children appear to be on the way for the pair.
Yeah.
And she said, I come from a big family, so I love the idea of having a lot of kids around in a big family. Whatever God has in his plan for us is what we'll do.
Got a half-brother now out here.
OnlyFans star, 18, reveals boyfriend is almost the same age as dad, 46.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, an 18-year-old influencer has stunned her followers after revealing that her boyfriend is almost the same age as her father. Well, I mean...
Wow. I mean, if you like him young...
Paris Al Tay. Paris Al Yang, a TikToker turned OnlyFans creator who goes by the name PP Wang.
Ooh, she just fell in love with
I wonder if... I would. I wonder now... Is she a trans? You know, I mean, if you call yourself PP Wang, what writes of?
Well, I mean,
where's the dick? Okay.
Now, if they called their little weenie Wang, then I would be like, you might be onto something.
Anyway, currently dating 44-year-old nightclub boss and playboy Julian Tobias. Speaking on the PN Clouds podcast, Al Yang revealed her neurosurgeon father is 46 years old. My boyfriend and my dad are 2 years apart, the Bondi resident told the host. My dad's 46 and my boyfriend's 44. I mean, she is very, very attractive, but I will say that she's also...
I'll say if you base it only on looks, yeah. You won't be happy in the long run. Now, short term...
Al Yang went on... Yeah. Al Yang went on to say she met Tobias at a restaurant in Sydney when she was 17. A segment of the podcast was later shared to TikTok and was flooded with comments. I'm sorry, did she just say her boyfriend is 44 years old, someone wrote? Didn't she just graduate from high school last year, another asked? Tobias, a nightclub proprietor, runs popular Sydney Arbor venue, The Island and Potts Point Disco Studio. Has been sighted around town recently with Paris. Neither wanted to comment when contacted by Daily Mail Australia last month, but friends say the new couple have been close friends for several months, but have recently taken the relationship to the next level with Al Yang, a regular visitor to Tobias' $5.5 million Bondi penthouse. Tobias, who opened his first Sydney bar in 09, has established a reputation for dating a succession of stunning, high-profile women over the years. Tobias' most significant relationship to date was Charlotte Coquelin, with whom he said to be engaged to for 5 years before the French model packed her bags and moved back to Paris in 2021. Prior to that, he made headlines in 2014 when he began dating Canadian actress and Vampire Diaries star Nina Dobrev before moving on with American Instagram megastar Alexis Ren in 2016. Al Yang, meanwhile, has a significant presence on OnlyFans, attracting 40,000 views per post on the subscription adults-only content site. She also has a huge following in TikTok and Instagram. Yep. And he'll be with somebody else next week.
You never know. People that do that don't tend to settle down.
That's what I mean. He'll be with someone else next week.
What you think about, you think about George Clooney, all that jumping around he did.
Yeah.
He ended up meeting someone very intelligent.
Yeah, I mean.
The same intellectual... Maybe not the same intellectual. I don't know as much about his intellect, but he is a smart man, too.
He's going to get it.
I mean, that made him stick around.
Man sued after abandoning his blind date in a restaurant along with her 23 relatives. The pair arranged to meet at a popular restaurant in northeastern China, but to the man's surprise, his date arrived at the restaurant accompanied by 23 of her relatives. A man in China who walked out on a blind date, leaving the woman to pay for him and her 23 relatives, now faces being sued. The man was identified in local reports as Mr. Liu, and reportedly found his prospective partner, Ms. Zhang, through a matchmaker. The pair arranged to meet at a popular restaurant in Jilin Province, northeastern China, but to the man's surprise, his date arrived at the restaurant accompanied by 23 of her relatives.
That sounds like a cunt.
At the end of the meal, when Lou was handed the bill, he had a huge shock to see the family had racked up a huge bill totaling 20,000 yuan, which is approximately 2,230 euros. That's about $4,000. That's about $4,000 here. The man panicked, so decided to leave the restaurant, forcing his date to settle the bill. She said the bill... She paid the bill, but demanded he paid half. Lou agreed to pay some of it, but not all of it, and offered 4,000 yuan, approximately $445, leaving Zhang's relatives to pay the rest. Angered by his offer, Zhang's family decided to sue him and take up a lawsuit to force him to pay up. The court ruled in his favor, stating that he should only cover the cost of his own and Zhang's meal, which was approximately 1,400 yuan, which is 156 euros.
Yeah.
The whole incident... Yeah.
They should have took his offer.
The whole incident has prompted a range of responses in China and prompted discussions around the boundaries of social etiquette during blind dates. It appears that most people sided with the man. Legal
doesn't think that's not social etiquette.
Legal experts said that bringing 23 relatives to what was supposed to be a blind date between two people surpassed generally accepted norms. Mm-hmm. Others also said that other individuals bear responsibility for what they consume during the meal and should pay for themselves.
Yes.
It's not recorded whether the pair schedule a second date, but most think they probably did not.
I think so.
That's ridiculous.
She is a bitch.
Now, I was actually looking, and there was an article, there's a comment, and one of the guys, he says, well, this isn't uncommon in some of the Asian countries. He says, you know, I was dating a woman in the Philippines, and her family came with her, and it was only like 3 or 4 people. Wasn't 23.
Yeah, wasn't 23.
I'm like,
and I'm sure it wasn't at a freaking ridiculously expensive restaurant.
Live coverage. Trump pleads not guilty in federal court.
Yeah.
News Nation reports. Former President Donald Trump was arraigned on federal charges in Miami. He's the first president to face a federal indictment. He's facing 37 charges related to classified documents found at his home.
They could say first, but if it's people constantly changing the, you know, rule marker to fit their needs to catch him, of course it's going to be the first president. They've been after him since before he was elected.
And there's some more stuff, too. It says Trump stopped at Cuban restaurant after leaving courthouse. After exiting the federal courthouse where he was arraigned on 37 felony charges, former President Donald Trump headed to the Versailles Cuban Bakery. Trump was greeted with jeers and cheers from the crowd at the restaurant, which is a common political meeting place. He prayed with supporters and took photos with customers before reminding the crowd he would be making remarks later Tuesday evening. Trump aide Waltine Nada not arranged. Trump exits federal courthouse after pleading not guilty. Vance vows to halt judicial nominees over indictment. A lot of stuff has been going on recently here. Trump campaign launches fundraising effort after not guilty campaign, or after not guilty plea. Let's try that again. Waltine Nada pleads not guilty. Intent will be key when it comes to legal case. Democrats will have to defend Trump investigation in 2024 campaign. Trump pleads not guilty. Will Walt Nada launch a separate defense or stick with Trump? Trump enters courtroom for arraignment. Trump attorney Alina Haba speaks before court appearance. There's been a lot going on. How will Trump's legal troubles impact his campaign? Trump, Waltine Nada have been booked at Miami court. And there's another page. There's more. First sketches released from inside the courtroom. We also have Trump arrives at courthouse. What was in the documents found at Mar-a-Lago? Prosecutor said the documents included information about the military capabilities and vulnerabilities of foreign nations, as well as information about the U.S. military and nuclear capabilities. And the indictment, documents listed as recovered include notes from intelligence briefings, details about communications with foreign leaders, and a military contingency plan for invading a foreign nation. How will Walt Nauta's testimony affect Trump's case? Trump departs for courthouse. Will the federal state case against Trump be tried first? Trump struggled to find lawyers, a terrible stain on the Department of Justice. Ramaswamy promises to pardon Trump if elected. Wow, okay.
Pardon him for what?
Police give all clear outside Miami courthouse. Can the Justice Department prove their case? Crowds moved a suspicious object found outside courthouse. I wonder who fucking planted that. Does indicting a former president cross a line? Crowds gather outside Miami courthouse. How is this indictment different from the New York indictment? Sorry. Judge denies media access to courtroom. And that was it.
Because they don't want to see how it's playing out, because they want to be able to run it how they want to run it.
They're also talking about, could a third party candidate win the 2024 erection? The 2024 erection!
Depends on what they're packing. What, 6, 7 inches? Maybe 9?
Could a third party candidate win the 2024 election? I don't know. Anthony Weiner. Trump doing anything to create diversion.
Wouldn't it be ironic that he has the smallest penis, but his last name's Weiner? Like, if you got a last name Weiner, you better be doing something with your life.
Oh, man. Yeah, the Beatles are releasing their last record.
The last one?
Yeah. Okay, so we got this one. Home Depot worker claims that she's too pretty to work at the store. A Home Depot employee has sparked an online debate after she posted a selfie claiming she's too pretty to work at the hardware store. The employee, Ariana Josephine, tweeted out the photo of herself in her orange apron on Friday, saying her role, yes, as a paint mixer at the chain store in Texas is the only job I work at where I get reminded I'm too pretty to work at. The tweet soon went viral, with Home Depot trending on Twitter for several days straight. As of Tuesday, it had been viewed nearly 35 million times, earning over 106,000 likes and almost 7,000 bookmarks. Many of the responses on social media were positive, agreeing with Josephine that she is attractive and respecting her for working while trying to earn a degree in college. But several Twitter users blasted Josephine for reviews about working. I wouldn't go to Lowe's no more. Any girl with this mindset is a serious red flag. Yeah. Bro, these young ladies need prayer. They seek the attention of others too much. They need to be validated every 5 minutes. Her profile reads, Follower of Christ, yet her profile photo suggests that she is seeking admiration from men who probably do not follow Christ.
Yeah, that is true. Oh,
Oh my God! Marvel Comics icon John Romita Sr. just died.
What? That's fucking nuts.
Well, I mean, he died at 93.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess you got a point.
If you don't know who John Romita
Jr. His son is still...
Yeah, his son's still doing... I'm more familiar with Junior, but Romita, you know, great stuff. Let's read about that real quick, guys, because that is kind of a... We do what? Called Grimm's Comics Corner? Come on, guys. John Romita Sr., the man behind the creation of several beloved Marvel comic book characters and series, has died at age 93. Romita died peacefully in his sleep, his son confirmed in a Twitter post on Wednesday, describing his father as the greatest man I ever met. Romita Jr., who himself is a graphic novelist, and a great one at that, also wrote, I say this with a heavy heart, my father John Romita passed away peacefully in his sleep this Monday morning. He is a legend in the art world, and would be an honor to follow in his footsteps. We already have. Born in 1930 in Brooklyn, New York, Romita graduated from Manhattan School of Industrial Art before he broke into the comic book industry. The artist was influential in the creation of Marvel characters, including Wolverine, star of the X-Men franchise, and Spider-Man's girlfriend, Mary Jane Watson. He launched a Spider-Man newspaper comic strip in 1977 with Stan Lee, who was the executive vice president and publisher of Marvel Comics before his death in 2018. Writer and director of films, including the latest Guardians of the Galaxy, James Gunn, who has also taken the helm of superhero franchise DC Studios as a co-chief executive, shared an anecdote about how he wrote to Romita when he was a young boy. He said, Sorry to hear about the great comic book artist John Romita Sr. passing at the age of 93. My brother and I wrote him when we were young kids and sent him drawings of superheroes we were working on. He wrote us back, telling us what he liked about the drawings, a truly memorable experience in my life, making me feel like the magic of comic books, which seemed so otherworldly, wasn't actually that far away. My thoughts and condolences are with his family and loved ones. You know, that's what I like so much about James Gunn. He's literally one of us. As far as, like, comic book geeks, he was, you know, a lot of these idiots in Hollywood, they don't give a shit about this stuff.
You think about it, you got James Gunn. You got Quentin Tarantino. Like, he is a huge fan of the Grindhouse. And
yeah, those. You get. You know, it's funny that people that like this stuff actually seem to make. You know, they make like
the best
stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, like he's saying, I actually wrote to Romita when we were kids. We were talking. You know, we had superhero designs, and now he's not only worked with Marvel, but he's worked with DC to bring these superheroes that he read as a kid to life on the big screen in front of everybody. That's just a fucking amazing thing. Like, when this man says, I'm going to bring you Superman, I'm going to bring you Batman, I believe it. Because you know what he's going to bring us? He's not going to bring us the new, modern. He's going to bring us the Superman and Batman that we remember. And that's good. It's already worked with Guardians of the Galaxy. There was a fantastic movie, a great send-off for Gunn and Chris Pratt. Great film. Highly recommend go seeing it.
Yep.
My thoughts and condolences are with his family and loved ones. Chief Creative Officer of DC Comics, Jim Lee, shared a lengthy message on Romita's son's Instagram post, writing, "It goes without saying that your father was an amazing, beautifully talented draftsman and an artist who inspired and entertained so many generations of fans and creators. But for me, he was more than that. Your dad was just an incredible role model whose insightful words of advice have stayed with me my entire 3-decade-plus career." Mr. Lee said Romita gave him his very first art critique after being hired to work at Marvel in 1987. He added, "I remember to this day walking into his hallowed office, he was the Marvel art director at the time, with my first pages from Alpha Flight 51 and being so intimidated yet honored to be in his presence, a legend talking to little old me. Everything he shared with me that day was spot on, and while I didn't always follow his lead, I was young, dumb, and headstrong, he was absolutely 100% right. Moreover, he presented his critique with such total kindness and infinite patience that what could have been traumatic, career-ending, disappointing encounter turned into a conversation between peers that left me uplifted, seen, appreciated, and most importantly, fired up and eager to learn more and improve as an artist. That drive continues to this day, and your dad was a big part of me getting into the right mindset. The way he interacted with pros and beginners alike is something I tried to emulate myself as I started giving art critiques and hiring new talent." He ended his post writing, "We lost an absolute legend who was as humble and kind as he was talented. British chat show Jonathan Ross, a self-professed comic book fanatic, also paid a touching tribute to Romita, who he remembered as a kind, generous, compassionate, and thoughtful man. A sad, sad day for those of us who grew up adoring and obsessing over Marvel Comics," Ross wrote. "The great John Romita Sr. has died. A wonderful artist and a truly beautiful, kind, generous, compassionate, and thoughtful man. He was the rock that provided a gloriously rendered foundation to Marvel in those years when it grew and prospered and became the powerhouse of ideas it is today. Thank you, John, for sharing your magnificent genius." He lived a good long life.
Yeah.
Good long life.
You know, I was watching a thing on Stan Lee and Jack Kirby the other day. They had a major falling out. Like, Jack Kirby was writing comics making fun of Stan Lee, and then Stan Lee would do interviews and do a little scuff or, you know, something.
Okay,
about Kirby.
So. Go ahead and say your point.
Oh, it wasn't a point. I was just thinking that, like, all this history that people don't think about. Well, of course, like Jim Lee, that, you know, having an encouraging word from someone you admire, it sticks with so many people. And he could have just as easily, I mean, harshly critiqued it. Because that's what a critique usually ends up being is, like, what is wrong with your stuff?
Yeah.
And so, I'd noticed that when I was in college, and a lot of kids cannot take the criticism because they've always been told all their life, you are the best artist I've ever known. You are so good and all that. And then they get where other people are at least on the same level or if not higher. And then they get told, well, that's all right, but point A, point B, point C. And it's a lot of people that drop out and cannot take it.
Famous NBAer Shaquille. Okay, we're going to go back to the girl for a minute. Famous NBAer Shaquille O'Neal. Hold on, let's not. Yeah, okay. Famous NBAer Shaquille O'Neal even commented, though privately. Really? He sent a direct message to Josephine saying, "Don't let them people bother you," according to Legion Hoops. Later adding, have a great day. Tell all your boyfriends I said hello, LOL. Daily Mail has reached out to Home Depot for comment. Now, I can't actually... You're going to have to... Because this thing is on 5. Yeah. So you're going to have to literally look at... Yeah. So that's her.
I mean, she's good looking, but if she
and then, work. But that's her at Home Depot. Like...
I mean, she looks okay.
No, that's her at Home Depot.
It looks like she changed races from photo
yeah,
one to
I
photo
know,
two.
Right? And that's her at...
See? She looks Mexican there.
She's... No, that's not her. That's another home.
I was about to
oh,
say.
No, no, no. I'm sorry. That's another girl.
Oh, I
that's
was
another
about
girl.
To
oh, okay. Several like, others decided
what?
To post their...
That woman's a bitch. She's in blackface.
In the aftermath. Oh, wow. Oh, that's not fucking good. In the aftermath, Josephine said people doxed her location. Yeah. She wrote on Instagram, y'all turned something innocent into something crazy and ruined my way of making money by seriously taking the internet too far. You did that. You're the one that went on there and
I mean,
said all that shit.
Pots, kettles, and collars.
Now she's saying, last thing I'm going to say is I don't think I'm too pretty to work anywhere. I work at Home Depot because it's a decent job that pays good while I'm in school. Please stop taking social media to heart. God bless.
I want her definition of work.
Thanks for all the nice people I've spoken to and inspired. Thanks for the hate because it's helped me grow closer to God and be more tough-skinned. And on Twitter, she clarified, I don't think I'm too pretty to work anywhere. Oh, yeah, and that's all she
you know
she just said what I said.
If she hadn't gotten the response she got, she would never said that. I know how they women.
Okay, so we have Los Angeles is now home to the country's only unionized strippers. Here's how they did it. Star Garden dancers won the battle for union recognition after a 15-month organizing event. Good gravy. They wanted they formed Strippers United, a stripper-led 501c3 organization that advocates for strippers' rights. Oh, no, they had to. There is a Strippers United that was created in 2020. No. I guess Strippers United's been a thing for a long time. It's been in the forefront of the movement. They were very instrumental in us beginning our journey, says Lilith, another Star Garden dancer. We met with Strippers United early on when we were deciding how to deal with the safety issues we were facing. So what exactly... In addition to gaining support from former patrons at the club, dancers garnered celebrity backing from people like Rage Against the Machine's Tom Morello, who came out to play some union songs, because you know he's all about communism and everything. Yeah. Oh, communist strippers!
But
I gotta hurry up and go my...
You know, the irony is so capitalist.
Oh, yeah, they are.
It's all about making money playing places. Oh, but we gotta eat. Well, no shit.
Yeah, but, you know, in communism, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that doesn't ever work. That's why people starve and die.
Okay, so, completely different article. This is almost certainly going to be the best year for fighting games ever. After playing Mortal Kombat 1 right off the back of Street Fighter 6, I think we're going to be talking about 2023 for decades. Every time a new Mortal Kombat arrives, I think it might be the one that's so freaking gross I can't stomach it anymore. MK1 threatened to be that game when NetherRealm trotted out a montage of body mutilating fatalities to show off its latest skin shredding tech. But playing it at Summer Game Fest, the gore didn't give me that same ick. It's just punctuation. In Mortal Kombat, every sentence ends with a big red exclamation mark, and the only thing the game has to say is this is going to be the best year for fighting games ever. Mortal Kombat 1 is more polished than a crystal skull, almost as NetherRealm could have just made a fighting game in its sleep and used the bulk of last few years to focus on flair. The detail of the faces? Johnny Cage's cakes? The way two fighters disc must be a gay guy or a woman. The way two fighters square off in a short cutscene that masks loading before flowing seamlessly into the fight? Mirror Sheen. I like that. They have this new screen, kind of like the old Mortal Kombat screen, where they actually talk shit before the fight starts.
Okay.
That's actually cool.
I can't remember.
But remember, no. But remember how they usually would do that, like, when you actually go into it? I'm talking about on the versus screen. Where you see so-and-so versus so-and-so. Instead, they actually have the fighters say, talk shit. I'm gonna kick your ass or something while it's still loading.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I was thinking that was either Tekken or...
I don't think... I've not seen that.
One of the Street Fighters.
I'm sure maybe they've done it, but... Personally, though, I'd give it all up for my stupid-ass goofball created character in Street Fighter VI's story mode, which has me running around town fighting random weirdos with cardboard boxes on their heads. We don't know much about Mortal Kombat 1 story mode yet, but so far it looks like it's doing more of what the last three MK games have done. Remixing the series' convoluted lore in new ways, with cutscenes gradually creeping up on Hollywood CG-level realism. Maybe there's some surprise freedom hiding away in MK1's story somewhere, but my bet is it'll most likely be cutscenes interspersed with fights again. I'd be pre-gaming disappointment about that if Street Fighter VI wasn't already here with a radically different experience, one where I can give Chun-Li a can of sardines and hope it makes her like me. And hope it makes her like me. Huh? Why choose one or the other when we can have both? These two landing just months apart is echoes of November 2004 when Halo and Half-Life 2 were pulling FPS games in such different directions they threatened to tear the genre's arms off. This time we're getting a pair of fighting games from teams at the peak of their craft. An absolute feast of fists, a platter of punches, a banquet of beatdowns, a quiche full of KOs if you can tell I'm ready for lunch. The point is, fighting game players would be eating good this year, even if Street Fighter VI and Mortal Kombat 1 were all we had to chew on, but 2023 has more in store for us. There's an indie newcomer, Diesel Legacy, The Brazen Age, which features a rare 2v2 format for four simultaneous players. It has some really nice tuned shaded art and unusual take on 2D for a fighting game, with three lanes for players to bounce between. The lanes bring in some of the sidestepping footsies and special attacks you'd normally expect from a 3D fighter. The mayhem can feel a bit more like Street Fighter than Super Smash Bros. At times, but Diesel Legacy is made by a fighting game industry vets and controls like Street Fighter. Then there's the looming presence of Tekken 8. We don't know if it'll arrive in 2023, but chances seem pretty damn good. Bandai Namco is running a network test in July. PC Gamer's resident Tekken superfan Molly Taylor has been gearing up for the new Tekken era by competing in Tekken 7 tournaments, which are still going strong. Tekken 7 was a smash success in 2017 and has continued selling for 6 years. It passed 10 million sales in December, making it the best-selling Tekken game ever. All told, Tekken has sold even more copies than Street Fighter even. But the buzz around Street Fighter VI has been on another level than anything we've seen from the fighting games on PC. On Steam, Street Fighter VI peaked with 70,000 simultaneous players at launch, dwarfing Tekken 7's 19,000 in 2017 and doubling Mortal Kombat 11's 35,000 in 2019. The PC has had some other breakout fighting games in its history. 2018 Dragon Ball FighterZ launched to 44,000 simultaneous players, which crushed the record at the time. All these games are on consoles too, of course, where they typically have more players. But earlier this year, Capcom switched one of its tournaments from PS4 hardware to PC. It seems entirely possible we'll see the PC become the default platform for the competitive play in the future. Where people play fighting games aside, though, it's just a delight to see so much excitement for them. I can't overstate how much Street Fighter VI Adventure Story Mode and some modern controls are going to appeal to people who always assume Street Fighter wasn't for them. Both Mortal Kombat and Tekken are the kinds of games that people will buy in the strength of their ridiculous graphics alone. But of course, they've got more than that going on. MK1's cameo system is a clever way to integrate some of the depth of a tag fighter while adding some more nuanced control over how your AI partner jumps in with assists. Tekken 8's is adding multiple systems that reward aggressive play and a new control type for inexperienced players. Capcom, Bandai Namco, and NetherRealm are definitely going to sell more fighting games in the next 12 months than at any time in history. Has there ever been a better year in fighting game history, though? Maybe I'll give a nod to 95, which included a dizzying number of games, including Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Soul Edge, Street Fighter Alpha, and Tekken 2, a standout variety pack of the year. Honestly, though, if you pore over Fighter Generation's timelines, it starts to look like there's never really been a bad year for fighting game players, even as the genre weathered its last popular period. Even as the genre weathered its least popular periods. I have a feeling once 2023 fully sinks in and we see how many new people have jumped into the ring, the next few are really going to take us for a ride. Okay, and that's all we've got. Well, no, we'll do one more. Okay, so we've got this one here. Bounding into comics. Expendables actress Megan Fox admits to being a witch. Appears to threaten to perform carcass-eating ritual. Megan Fox, who appears in upcoming Expendables, recently admitted to being a witch and appeared to threaten to perform a carcass-eating ritual after she was accused of child abuse by Robbie Starbuck. Starbuck, the host of Robbie Starbuck's show, accused Fox of child abuse for dressing her sons up as girls. Starbuck wrote on Twitter, "These are Megan Fox's sons. We used to live in the same gated community, and our kids played at the park. I saw two of them have a full-on breakdown, saying they were forced by their mom to wear girls' clothes as their nanny tried to console them." He added, "It's pure child abuse. Pray for them." A follow-up tweet, he elaborated, "More context. This was around 5 years ago, so they were younger than they are in this pic. There was another witness and the nanny when the boys did this. It started with one, and the other one chimed in. Third child was not involved." Starbuck continued, "We knew California wouldn't do anything about it because the state celebrates this stuff and she's famous. Weirder wrinkle to this, I worked with Megan once on a small shoot about a year or so when she moved into our community, and she was very nice to me, so I was shocked when this happened later on. Just a very weird situation, but clearly those boys weren't happy." Starbuck then explained why he didn't publicly call out the behavior earlier. "I never said anything publicly because they were so young and I thought it would stop because they were vocally expressing the desire to wear boy clothes. We moved to Tennessee shortly after, and I saw this photo of the boys going around online this week. Really sad it didn't stop back then, and wish there was more we could have done back then, but there really wasn't anything we could do in California," he added. He also would respond to one user trying to put a community note on his post alleging that she only dressed one child in girls' clothes, apparently.
"Well, does it matter? I just fucked up one kid. I didn't do all of them."
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you still... screwing their brains up. Now, is there a law against it? I don't think there is, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah?
That, I mean, it's left up to public opinion, but besides public opinion, you know that screws kids up.
There's just
plenty of evidence behind it.
There's a thing here. This isn't really something we can do on the show because it's so many links. But there's a thing that Vigilant Links put out. I do recommend checking out VigilantLinks.com. It's a place to go for information if you don't like the woke agenda and a lot of the shit that's going on. Basically, they have a bunch of people that come together to find different articles about the shit that's going on. If you want to know all the fuck shit and the weird occult shit that's going on, stuff that I don't approve of, you can definitely check it out there. So go check out VigilantLinks.com, but basically they have a couple videos of the child-friendly pride parades, and basically the kids are not into it. But basically the person says, "Warning, these videos are a bit graphic, especially the DC one, but I thought a good illustration as to how the gaslighting that kids aren't being exposed to anything overt is complete bunk." Yep. There was a slur found painted on some Cooper Young's crosswalks. A hateful slur was spray painted on the Cooper Young crosswalks on Saturday morning. And this...
Cracker!
No! It was on a rainbow. It was on a rainbow that they put on the street. And this happened in Memphis, Tennessee. Hateful slur was found spray painted on the Cooper Young's crosswalk on Saturday morning. It's unknown who defaced the crosswalk, but it has been cleared since then. I wonder. I see an F and an S. The...
Baguettes?
What? Well, you can see the rainbow, then you see the big white F and the S there. The first section of crosswalk was installed in 2019, making it the first permanent rainbow crosswalk in Tennessee? What the hell going on in Tennessee? The couple, the Cooper Young neighborhood is one of the highest concentrations of same-sex households in the southeastern United States. Damn. That's too close to, just too close to comfort for me.
Yeah. 3-hour trip.
Shit, that's not far enough.
Yeah.
It needs to be a 30-hour wait, and I won't mind too damn much.
When it comes to killing female joggers, I mean, they're not after me. We're plenty far enough.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Kevin Costner's estranged wife, Christine Baumgartner, she refuses to move out. Yeah, he told...
She's used to a certain lifestyle.
He told the court that he believes that she's remaining in the home to persuade him into giving... Oh, listen to this, guys. Remaining in the home to persuade him to give in to various financial demands she's making in wake of the split. You know what? We'll continue, because I want to see what these demands are. What do you want from Kevin Costner?
Well, then I'm going to make some demands. I'm used to getting blowjobs. I should still at least get 3 blowjobs.
She had a 30-day period. She had a... Okay. She's already... Excuse me. He's already provided her $1.45 million under the terms of the prenup, providing ample funds for her to procure a new place to live. And let's see. What does she want? Costner said in court docs that he's amenable to contribute as part of his child support obligations $30,000 a month for a rental house and is willing to advance another $10,000 for a moving cost. Let's see. I'm trying to see. It doesn't really say. Let's see. It doesn't really say. It talks about what he owns. And, of course, she's a model and handbag designer.
Oh, she knows how to make a set.
Yeah.
Something on
Yeah, that's... You married a woman that knows nothing. He thought, you know, a lot of men do that. And they were, they know nothing until it comes to the divorce.
Oh, then they went to law school behind your back.
Yeah.
They're coming for it all.
And the final thing is that, yeah, they're announcing 3 more Star Wars movies that are going to be... and basically...
That's just like losing money.
And James Mangold, who is the director, he says that the galaxy far, far away's ever-expanding lore has put him off writing a story in a time period adjacent to the Skywalker saga or something similarly familiar. He says he doesn't want his movie to be weighed down by the lore. So you want to make a very simple movie.
So you want to make a movie that the people want to see, but you don't want to make a movie that people
that,
want to
see. Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Oh, and we got to cover the one last article. Actually, no, we have the big... I was supposed to cover this at the beginning. This was our main article. This is going to be the headline. But guess what? We got to talk about this. Okay, a viewer has set a Twitch streamer's Jaguar F-Type on fire after driving 700 miles to her house.
This just
fucking happened. On June 14th, 2023, Twitch streamer Kylie Just Foxy revealed that a viewer recently came to her house and set her Jaguar F-Type on fire. She posted a few photos of the harrowing incident on Twitter, showcasing the incinerated sports car. The content creator also took to YouTube to explain what happened, claiming that the viewer drove 700 miles to commit the arson. Just Foxy provided details about the terrifying situation in the YouTube video titled, A Twitch Viewer Set My Car on Fire. Story time. She explained she hasn't been able to stream or be active on the internet recently because she had been dealing with stalkers. The Twitch streamer then revealed that she received a call from her crying mother at 2 a.m. during her vacation. This happened 2 weeks ago when I was on vacation. I was asleep. It was around 2 a.m. when Mom called me and woke me up. She's crying and I knew something really, really bad happened. And she said, someone caught your car on fire. I'm so sorry. I have to go. The police are here. And she was in the house while all this was happening. Just Foxy stated she was unsure what to do in the situation because she was far away from home and ended up looking at the security footage on her phone. She revealed what she discovered, saying, I saw my car in flames. That's the first thing I saw. I just couldn't believe that I was watching my car that I worked so hard for just burn, and for somebody to take that from me is very hurtful, and I'll never be able to understand that. Thankfully, the cameras caught the guy doing it, and I went back to watch that. Oh, she does know who did it. Just Foxy then disclosed the viewer drove 700 miles to commit the arson. And, it makes it so much worse, she says. I watched him put a brick on my car, on the hood, and some pot, and he lit something sticking out of it and walked away casually like they didn't do anything. The next clip after that was the front end of my car engulfed in flames. The streamer went on to say that the fire had spread to the fence, burning the side of her house where her mother and animals had been. Firefighters came very quickly, and I'm very thankful for that because the fire spread to the fence and burnt the side of my house as well, of which my mom and animals were inside of. We're all traumatized in ways I'll never be able to describe, but I'm just glad everyone is safe, and that's the most important thing to me. The news of her sports car being lit ablaze went viral on Twitter, and people lost their fucking mind, of course. I'm not going to go through all the Twitter tweets. Just Fox, she's a partner Twitch streamer who has been broadcasting on the Amazon-owned platform since December 2016. She's primarily a Fortnite content creator and boasts 592,855 followers on her channel. Okay, so let me tell you something. I'm just going to say something real quick about all this. The FBI has been talking a lot about incels and single men and dangerous men. You don't think that acts like this aren't going 700 miles to burn the car up? That's a warning. That's usually a warning. They do that shit as a warning. That means there's probably going to be worse.
Well, they did that not long ago where he came and killed the girl's whole family. And,
this shit is... Yeah, they're watching you because, you know, it's kind of... It's getting crazy. I don't know. One guy said, oh, you're just doom and gloom. I'm not being doom and gloom about it, though. I actually think... I'm being honest here. These incel guys are getting a little bit too crazy. We got one guy that I work with that is a little way too fucking crazy. He bursts into anger at every second. He loses his mind. We can't even keep him on the... he was back there in the warehouse with us. I was just listening to my headphones and the guys were talking, just doing their job. I didn't hear anybody say nothing. I didn't hear no argument. Dude just comes down and says, I'm tired of this shit. I'm walking off. He just walked off. And I'm looking at I'm going over there, walking over to the guys, and I'm like, what did I miss? And the guys are just looking at me like, I don't know. I was like, is everything cool? He's like, yeah, everything's fine. Dude just is like, is dude okay? Like, that's the kind of guy I think is going to do something.
That, or he is very bipolar. Because the other he ran with is also. But
the thing is, though,
meet many people.
The thing is, though, if you're bipolar to that extent, you need to be dealing with it. Like, that's a medical thing. That's not something, oh, son, you're just. No. If you have a legit bipolar disorder to the point that you just flip out and you might actually fucking harm somebody, that's an issue. If you're always walking around like. Literally, I mean, you know, you look at, like, oh, Elliot, Roger. No, I'm not talking about even a gentleman-looking guy. I'm talking about the legit incel-looking dude. But instead of looking depressed, like, don't imagine, you know, the old incel drawing where the guy's got his head down? No. Imagine that build, but he's just, like, mad. Like, somebody pissed in his coffee. And I mean, all the time. And this kid's, what, 19?
I guess.
He's like 19. This is the shit
he'll sit back there and watch his little YouTube videos and start giggling like it's the funniest thing in the world. And he wants you to make sure you know what he's watching is funny. But he don't show you. I could care less.
That's crazy. It's like an opiate for the masses kind of thing. The world hates me. YouTube time!
Well, and you gotta think, too, how much of that is him doing a response that he thinks people...
I don't know about that.
...relate to. Look, yeah, I am tired of this shit. Or, I can see why he would be tired of shit. Only problem is, no one else is saying what he thinks
you're
is
upsetting.
Acceptable.
You're upsetting... Guy, like, when I'm having to go to the guys and be like, what just fucking happened? Well, it gets to that point.
You can't be acting like a bitch the whole time.
You can't be acting like a bitch, and the problem is, it's these bitch guys that do the crazy fucking shit. The dudes that shoot up things, the dudes that do crazy shit, they're, what do they call, bitch made. That's what the term is, bitch made. And that's literally what we got there. So, I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm just trying to do my damn job and all this. I mean, I don't even fucking go off like I used to.
But, yeah, see, now you say you used to blow up.
But I don't used
but
to. But I don't blow up like that.
Reason to, for one.
God damn, I don't even blow. I didn't blow up like that, though.
He don't know what a real job is. This is probably the
first job he's ever had. It's like, if you can't handle this, you can't handle anything.
Oh, yeah, because it's not necessarily a difficult job.
No.
It's just labor intensive.
It's just labor intensive. He doesn't, I want to do that. Yeah, you know what he wants to do? No, listen to me. DP, this is what he wants to fucking do. He wants to be the guy on YouTube. That's it. And that's the same one that the other one wanted to do.
He said
he wanted to be a game streamer. He wanted to be a game streamer. Just another... And you don't think about this, guys.
Well, that's like because people going to Hollywood to become famous.
Basically, listen.
Everybody wants that.
Because, listen, all right. So, I was talking with these guys, right? And they were basically... Not the other guy, but the dude that used to work with us. And he's saying, oh, you gotta follow this guy. He's so great. And follow this guy. And follow this guy. And follow this guy. And it's all these YouTube guys playing games. And it's like, this isn't interest to me.
I mean, I don't follow guys. Guys follow me.
It's like, I don't get it, man. It's like, oh, you gotta follow him. He's so funny. You gotta follow this guy. He's so great. You gotta follow this guy. It's like, God darn. It's like the age of... It's like almost like, let's see, the Bible? I mean, did the Bible predict people would be following all these people? It feels like it.
It does say in Revelations
there would be a lot
what
of
what was good is now considered evil, and what is evil is considered good, which is what the left is trying
well,
to tell
isn't
you.
There, well, yeah, but no, I said there was... A lot of false messiahs. A lot of people would be worshiping.
Plenty of those.
Yeah.
And you know, self can be a messiah.
As
you know,
well, yeah.
A lot of people
are very selfish. To
be what their version of Satanist is them saying they themselves are their own god instead of, you know, and that goes with idols. Anything can be an idol. If you spend more time with something usually before you put God,
right?
That's considered
according to the Bible, yeah. And I mean, well, that means most
according to a dictionary too.
Yeah.
It's not just the Bible. You can look up Webster. I'll tell
you. Oh yeah, that's true.
And then he'll...
I don't know. Webster's probably...
Webster's a little woke.
Webster's changed, yeah. All right, so we're going to go ahead and end it here. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. This is the Grimlord Dead Penetration. We are out.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.